morning. Before we begin, I'd like to introduce you to a new member of the IASB staff, Fred Nito. Some of you had the opportunity to meet him last evening. He joined the IASB in June as the investor education manager, and he works in the IASB's education cluster. Before joining the IASB, Fred had 10 years of experience as an equity analyst, primarily covering European and global financial services sector on both the buy and the sell side. And Fred, would you like to give the group some idea of what it is you're working on here?
Sure. Thanks, Pat. I've just been, in the last few months, working on some investor-oriented projects, such as webcast content, partnering with the CFA Institute, primarily on existing IFRS that are undergoing changes in 2013, as well as preparing to develop materials related to the revenue standard when it's issued. And then in addition, I've been working extensively with Barbara on the outreach in areas where my previous experience has been considered applicable or useful, so areas like the insurance project.
Thank you.
I can add that he's also giving a lot of staff members impulses to think a little bit differently.
We've been having Fred to do investor education, internal investor education sessions for us, so to give us a little bit more information on what different types of investors look at, you know, the types of ratios they might look at, ways that we can think of communicating better with investors. So kind of building up some of the staff, better, more staff-specific knowledge as well. And so if any of you also think of anything that you think you might want to use Fred for, let us know. We're happy to have your suggestion.
Yeah, working today. Get our money's worth. Shall I go on and give you a little update about the agenda? I'm not going to spend too much time on the details because we have a very excellent website that will fill you in on everything that needs to be known about the projects. And I'm glad to see that Peter Clark is here so he can keep me on the reservation as I talk about what's going on with the projects. A new project that we're working on that you may not be aware of, and I think you should be, is part of our disclosure initiative. You might recall that as part of the agenda consultation, many commentators encouraged us to do a disclosure framework. And as part of our conceptual framework, we delve a little bit into disclosure, but it's really not a rigorous kind of conceptual framework, I wouldn't say, for disclosure. We really decided to do a disclosure initiative as a separate sort of parallel project and more at the standards level. And the first step in that, coming out of the public forum we had last January, are some amendments to IAS 1. You know, remember, IAS 1 is presentation of financial statements. And many commentators at that forum suggested that one of the drawbacks to information in the financial statements being as useful as it might be was the problem of some of the wording in IAS 1, particularly materiality. The question was raised, if something is material enough to result in a line item in the financial statements, does that mean that every disclosure related to that item needed to be provided? So for example, if a company had a pension liability that was material enough to result in a pension obligation or asset in the balance sheet, did that necessarily mean that every single disclosure that is suggested in IAS 19 should be provided. So that we were asked to address that question. And another issue that was raised was whether or not the accounting policies footnote needed to be the first footnote in the financial statement, or whether that could be integrated with the discussion about the particular line item that the accounting policy related to, and whether a company needed to repeat the accounting standard, if you will, in its footnote, or whether they could presume when there's no choice in accounting that the user of financial statements knows how that line item is accounted for. So those are the items that we'll be addressing in the disclosure initiative, and I think the plan is to issue an exposure draft early in the first quarter of next year. So keep your eye open for that, because we'll be looking for your input, obviously, on that. On the big projects, classification and measurement, impairment, hedge accounting, leases, revenue recognition, insurance, we're still working on those after many, many years. Some of you may remember that our goal was to finish them all by June 2011, and here it is the fall of 2013, and we're still beavering away to get them polished up. On classification and measurement, I think things are drawing to a close. We began redeliberations of the exposure draft in October, and it's on our agenda again in November, and I think that that's pretty much going to be the end of it. We're polishing up some concerns that were raised about the definition of only principal and interest and the business model, which are the criteria for how you classify the financial instruments. And I think we're also going, the big issue, I guess, in the business model definition is how we got the definition correct for the use of fair value OCI. And so we've got a little tinkering to do there, and we'll be doing that at the next meeting.
Sorry, just to interrupt. Does it feel as though that's going to be a converged sort of solution?
We have been re-deliberating with the FASB in October, and I believe it's a joint discussion on classification and measurement again. In October, I get my months mixed up. In September, we had joint meetings, and it'll be a joint discussion again. We haven't had the October meeting yet. Then, as part of the FASB's process, it will ask itself whether it wants to keep that guidance on how to classify. I have no reason to believe that they're going to change their mind and go in a totally different direction, but that's always a possibility when you're doing due process.
There would be some similarities, if that's the case.
Because it's really, for us, it's consideration of amendments, as Pat said, polishing some aspects of IFRS 9. For FASB, I think it's a more fundamental shift and with comprehensive ED saying, should we make a change to line up with ISB in terms of payments of SBPI, payments of principal and interest. So they were going to have some re-deliberation with us of the responses, feedback, and then say, okay, do we go that way, do we go this way? We're waiting for that from FASB.
On impairment, and I know your question is going to be, is that going to be a conversion? We have been re-deliberating with the FASB in September. We had joint re-deliberations. What we've decided to do going forward, given the feedback that the two respective boards got on their exposure drafts, was that we would re-deliberate our model and make the changes we felt necessary based on the comments that we received on our model that is clarifying things like the definition of default and things of that nature. And then the FASB will separately re-deliberate things that they feel need to be changed in their model. And then we'll get together and see whether there's any possibility of converging. So whether or not we have a converged standard is really yet to be determined. If anyone else has anything to add to that.
I think just going back to the differences that we had in feedback on the two proposals, you know, FASB heard, not unanimously, but overwhelmingly, lifetime expected loss of day one.
From their users.
Yes. And we did not. We, you know, we heard that the not having a day one loss was a better approach. Again, not unanimously, but clear majority, not having day one loss was a better approach, and that people generally thought it was helpful to have accounting recognition, even if it's a crude capture, of significant credit deterioration. So with those two things, the difference in feedback was quite marked.
So it makes it difficult to converge position. On revenue recognition, we're still polishing away at the standard. There are three areas that have been troublesome almost from the beginning, and that's collectability, something that we call a constraint. That is, what do you do when the revenue is uncertain because it's based on some uncertain event, such as the revenues of your customer. And the third area is licenses. And these are three interrelated areas, and they've been problematic. They were problematic in the first ED. They were problematic in the second ED. And they've been problematic in the fatal flaw draft that we've been working with. So we'll be discussing those three areas with the FASB again at the October meeting. And hopefully we'll come to a resolution that works within the model that's been developed, and we'll move forward and finalize the revenue standard in the first quarter of 2014.
Do you think this will hold the first quarter?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. So does that mean the need to actually publishing in sort of first quarter?
Yes.
And then the effective date would be likely to be when?
We agreed on an effective date, and I've forgotten what it is. How many here? 17. What it is? The 17?
17.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess the question for us will be whether publishing in the beginning of, and I hope it would be early in Q1 versus late Q4 makes us push back a year, but you know, I think that's probably something we'd address in November, December.
It's a prepared problem. They have enough time to. What you're saying is, do they have enough time to get ready, or
get ready to collect the data on a real-time basis rather than going back after the fact?
Get too close, you got to move a year forward.
Yeah. insurance, I guess there's been 97 meetings since the exposure draft was issued. We've been doing extensive outreach around the world. The good news is that there's widespread agreement with the unlocking of contractual service margin and what we propose for transition, and there's conceptual agreement with the proposed calculation of insurance contract revenue. The bad news is there's still serious concerns about the accounting mismatches that arise from the model and its interaction with accounting for financial instruments. There's also widespread concern about the mandatory use of OCI. There's a number of concerns about whether what we're proposing for mirroring in the case of participating contracts, whether that's operational. So that work is ongoing. The comment period ends the end of this month, October 25th, and then we'll receive the feedback from the staff and their plan on how to move forward. We'll probably receive joint feedback from the FASB and our staff as to the feedback the FASB received on their exposure draft. As you know, the exposure drafts are not converged. And so we'll hear feedback from the FASB as well, and then we'll decide whether it makes sense to move forward and try to converge the standards, or whether the two boards finalize their own proposals. So that's a decision yet to come. Okay, I'm almost out of time, but I would like to mention leases. If you were impressed with the 97 meetings we had on insurance, I think we've had over 200, haven't we, on leases, Jan?
Could be.
And as you're probably aware, this is probably the most controversial project we have on our agenda at the moment. The controversy has become political, to the extent where accounting standards are actually being discussed in Washington, D.C., at the U.S. Congress, and in Brussels, at the European Commission. It's hard to believe that accounting actually interests the politicians, but for some reason leasing does, and they weighed in on it. There seems to be general agreement that leases create assets and liabilities. There doesn't seem to be general agreement about whether they should be recognized or not. And if they are recognized, how they should be measured and how changes in their measurements should be displayed in the income statement. We have gotten from our user community strong support, I think, for recording lease assets and liabilities in the balance sheet. And we've gotten good support for the model that we proposed in the exposure draft, although some would prefer one model for simplification reasons. Others prefer one model because they believe it's the correct theoretical thing to do. The problem that we have is this is a joint project with the FASB, and the users in the U.S. seem to be much more split on what to do, with the FASB's investor advisory group having come to the conclusion that while they believe that leases create assets and liabilities, they think what the FASB should do is just provide enhanced disclosure, and they, the users, will adjust the reported numbers as they see fit. And this has created a huge problem in finalizing the standard as it's been exposed, because those that don't want recognition of police assets and liabilities are holding up the advisory group, the investor advisory group's letter and saying, look, users are divided on this, the disclosure is the way to go. There's no clear direction. And I would think when users are divided that you're going to, they agree that they're assets and liabilities, so put them on the balance sheet and then pick a model that is right and consistent with the conceptual framework and go for it, and one group will like it and the other group will be unhappy. So that's always the case in accounting, but one solution would be, just because users can't agree, would be to do nothing but enhance disclosure. And we were discussing this at our advisory council earlier this week, and Jan may want to add some color here. And we have a breakfast with the investor members of the advisory council during the advisory council meeting, and we were discussing this issue with them. And they suggested, or the thought was expressed, that we should try to get more publicity or more exposure for our investor advisory group's view on leasing, because people are unaware that I think that we even have an investor advisory group. That's you guys, right? And they just keep referring to the investor advisory group of the FASG as if they represent all investors in the U.S. And this group certainly provides important input to us, and your views are not being elevated in the same way and held open. So I don't know how we would go about getting more.
Isn't the obvious possibility that, and with this conversation keeps coming back as to when and if this group actually publishes an opinion.
We
have a group that have often wondered whether we should formally write comment letters. They're a lot of work, so you don't want to do it all the time. But you know, that's certainly something we should discuss if we think it's useful. I'm aware of other user groups that have been asked to and have provided letters that are generally favorable to what the ISB is producing and are very much against disclosure-only solutions. So, but just because one group can't decide and says, oh, throws in the towel and says disclosure-only, I don't think it's representative of a wider community of user groups, because there are a lot of them out there.
I'd make one philosophical observation that I think it's incumbent on us to make sure that counting disclosures and recognition are in place which help on it relatively unsophisticated users as much, if not more, than sophisticated users. Sophisticated users can cope with just disclosure. Unsophisticated investors need recognition because they're going to be using headline financial data. And I think, you know, from what I've seen written by some of the user groups indicating that accounts should just be sophisticated users, I actually think they're fundamentally conflicted because they make money when accounts are complex and they're writing interpretations. Whereas I think, you know, it's incumbent on us to ensure it's full recognition and it's as clear as possible.
I don't think, I agree, I don't think financial statements need to be unreadable.
Good.
Well, there are some people that, you know, the disclosure only suggests that, it's only, it should be only for the initiator. And I think that that's incorrect. I think we can do a lot to make it. I think there's a need to be to communicate in financial statements in at a level that it does not require a PhD.
We've got a session later on about this. It happens to be on lessor accounting, not lessee accounting. Staff will be with us for that session. Should we discuss this again and use at least some of that time?